We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
You know the name, but do you know the man? You know a story, but have you really captured his heart? His purpose? Is it clearly seen by you? You know, but you look again. Stare for a while and ask,
I want to welcome you to Redemption Church on Resurrection Sunday. My name is Chris Fluitt. I am the lead pastor here, and I'm really excited to talk to you today about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the most known person in human history. No one disagrees with that, right? He is the most known person in human history. There are more books written about Jesus than any other person or than any other subject. And of course, you probably know he has his own book, and it's kind of a big deal, right? It's a bestseller, right? You've heard of the Bible. It's the all-time bestseller. They no longer put it on the weekly bestsellers list because the Bible is always the number one bestseller. It just became a given, so they just take, they don't even matter printing it because his book is the most sold book of all time every week, all right? Jesus is famous. Look at somebody say, Jesus is famous. I don't know if you heard, but Jesus is famous. Jesus has followers. That's become a big buzzword in social media today. You got followers and you got friends. You friend me on Facebook. You follow me on Twitter or whatever else is out there. I even get lost in all of it. According to the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, in 2010, there were 2.18 billion Christians around the world. That's over a third of the population. 2.18 billion Christians around the world. We're talking about Jesus having followers. Jesus has more followers than Katy Perry, Justin Bieber, Barack Obama, Lady Gaga. In fact, add all of them together and throw in a few more celebrities all together, and the number of followers, it doesn't even come close to the amount of followers your Jesus has. He's famous. And that's just living right now. If we took into totality all those that have gone before in the book of Acts on, all those that gave up their life for Jesus, all those missionaries that sold everything they had and went to preach Jesus, if we put all that together, it is just absolutely laughable. No one has ever had as many followers as Jesus. In fact, he has more followers on the earth right now than all the people using Twitter. Hashtag Jesus is famous. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, though, am I? You probably already knew this. But we do need to tell you this. This Jesus, although throughout the world he's known, all throughout the world he's not always recognized when he appears. He's famous, but when he shows up, we don't always recognize it. This Jesus who everybody knows of, and he's often misunderstood and he's often misrepresented. In the Bible, when Jesus appears or he speaks or does a miracle, people are often left asking this question: who is this? Or who was that? Who is that guy? When he shows up, that's what usually happens. Someone asks, who is this? And we think the same thing happens today in our world. Perhaps you were told growing up that God is a God of hate. Maybe you were told someone that God hates those people over there. Maybe you were told that. But guess what? Then you met Jesus. And then you saw that's not true at all. Perhaps you were told that Jesus would never receive you if you did fill in the blank sin. Oh, sure, do all this other stuff over there, but if you do this right here, Jesus won't receive you. Maybe you were told that. But then you met Jesus and you found out he'll always receive you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's always going to be with you. And so how he was met, represented to you, wasn't what he really looked like. The recognition was all off. Perhaps you grew up knowing that, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Maybe you sang that growing up. But then you experience that love and you find out it is stronger and it is better than any lyrics to a song could contain. Because when Jesus shows up, he blows everything we have in our heads away. He's greater than we ever imagined. And every time he shows up, we leave going, wow, who is that guy? Because he's greater than I was ever told he was greater than. As good as I'll do to preach a sermon to you today, I want to tell you that the Jesus you will meet one day is far superior than the Jesus I can tell you about. He is so good. Although his name and description are recognizable, Jesus' identity is often not recognized. He's known. Jesus is known, yet mistaken. In fact, I would tell you he's the most known person in history. I would tell you that he's the most mistaken person in history. Jesus is famously mistaken. Many times, Jesus was very clear and directly told people that he would die and rise again. It's in your Bible. It's in the gospel. Several times he tells us this. Here's one example. You talk about direct and to the point. Here it is. It's Matthew 16 and 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to where? Jerusalem. And what? Suffer many things at the hands of who? Elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. That's pretty direct, isn't it? It's pretty clear. What is there to miss here? Right? Hey guys, this is what's going to happen. That's what Jesus did. How much clearer could he be? He told them he was going to die. He told them who was going to do it. He told them where they were going to do it. He told them it was going to be on a cross. He told them that on the third day he would rise again. He told them. So when he died, just like he said, where he said, and at the hands of who he said, you would think someone would recognize this. Wait, Jerusalem, cross, chief elders, died, probably put this together, guys? No, not even close. No one put it together because we have trouble recognizing this Jesus. You would think someone would say, wait, this happened just like Jesus said. He died on a cross in Jerusalem at the hands of his own people. So it's the third day. Perhaps we should go to the tomb and welcome a resurrected Lord, because he said all this would happen, but he also said on the third day he'd rise again. So surely when Jesus came out of the tomb, there were just throngs of people there going, Jesus, we've been waiting for you to return. Praise God, here you are. No, not at all. There were soldiers there because they had to be there. Nobody was there. This Jesus who healed people. This Jesus who spoke people and it just blew their mind. This Jesus who walked up to the Pharisees, who the Pharisees knew everything, or at least they wanted everyone to think they knew everything. And he would just turn them on their head at just the mention of a simple truth about God. This Jesus told you he was going to be raised on the third day. Where are you? Time out. We know he's coming back. Where are we? We know Jesus is going to return. Where are we? Are you waiting? There should be a big parade just set up, ready for Christ to return. Because let me tell you, he very clearly said, I'm going away, but you can mark it down, I'm coming back. Yeah. Somebody get ready, because Jesus Christ is going to return. Yeah. It's not every day someone looks at you and tells you how they're going to die. That would be really creepy, right? You're just at Starbucks ordering your grand latte, whatever, with a frap shot of bean juice. And the person says, all right, that'll be $1.50. I'm going to die on the dart 5 days from now. That would be really creepy. Be like that Christopher Walken movie. Dead zone? Dead zone. There you go. All right. It would even be rarer for them to follow up how they're going to die, when they're going to die, with that they're going to actually raise again from the dead. I don't think I would forget that conversation. Just for its peculiarity, just for its weirdness, I don't think I would ever forget that, all right? I don't think I could. I think we'd all remember that conversation. Nope. You see, Jesus is heard, but he's very rarely understood. That must be frustrating. Let's read this passage in John 20 that tells us about the resurrection. Is it okay if we read some scripture together? We're going to read a lot of verses together here. I'm not going to lose you, right? Everybody said, yeah? All right, good. All right, John 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Verse 2. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples. She saw that and she went running away to go tell Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. Verse 3. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. The other disciples, probably John, he wrote this book. Verse 4, both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. John was faster and reached the tomb first. Verse 5, he bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in to that tomb. Verse 6, then Peter, that slowpoke, Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there. Verse 7, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself. See, Jesus is neat. He doesn't just leave things in a mess. It was folded by itself, separate from the linen. Verse 8, finally the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside and saw and believed. Verse 9, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Verse 10. And the disciples went back to their homes. Verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She's still in this story. Now the disciples have gone. She is outside this tomb. Mary Magdalene is crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels. Well, things just escalated, right? Okay, empty tomb. It's kind of weird. Two angels. It's getting crazy here. Two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, one at the foot. And they asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said. His dead body is not here anymore. That's why I'm crying. And I don't know where they have put him. Verse 14. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize it was Jesus. Verse 15. Woman, he said, why are you crying? This is the second time now she's been asked why. She's crying. Who is it that you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener. Stop. Read that sentence with me. Thinking he was the gardener. This is the resurrected Lord here. He gets mistaken for a gardener. This is interesting. We'll talk about it in a second. She said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. He calls her name. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. It's not till he calls her name that she finally recognizes him. And there's several stories like this in the Bible. You've got the people walking, there are two disciples, and they're walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes up, a resurrected Jesus comes up and starts walking with him. They don't recognize him. They get all the way to a place where he breaks bread, and it's when he breaks bread, they remember because they were there when he broke bread at communion. They were there when he broke bread and fed the multitude. And that's when they remember and they're like, ah, and he disappears. They're like, what? Our hearts burnt within us, just being in his presence. This Jesus, all throughout the Bible, he shows up, but we don't recognize him. Can we talk about this Mary Magdalene for a second? We read about in John chapter 20. She clearly knew Jesus. Luke 8 and 2 declares that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. Not just one. Jesus just done showed off. He cast 7 demons out of her. She is close enough in following Jesus that she's one of the few people mentioned to be at the crucifixion near the cross. And Mary Magdalene is the first person to see a resurrected Jesus recorded in your Bible. Someone that knows Jesus, is well acquainted with him, and has seen his miracles up close and personal, who cared enough to stand and witness the gruesome punishment of the cross, how would you expect her to respond upon seeing a very alive Jesus risen from the grave? How would you expect her to respond? Jesus, it's you. Oh, you were right. You did raise from the grave. Hug her. Hug him. And oh, we're together. I can't wait to tell everyone. Come on, let's just go save the world together. Let's go do this. No, not even close. She thought he was the gardener. Jesus is famous, but he's famously mistaken. She looks in the tomb. She sees 2 angels. No dead body. Verse 12. And then she turns around, sees Jesus, doesn't recognize him. And then that weird verse, verse 15, she thinks she sees a gardener. Why does someone who obviously knows Jesus not recognize him? I think that's a great question. Why does someone who knows Jesus, when they see him, not recognize him? We have no reason to think Jesus was wearing a disguise. Or that he was hiding. He was there in plain sight. But yet she didn't recognize. The only reason I can think of is this. Mary came looking for a dead body. Not a resurrected Lord. She looked in that tomb expecting to see a body. Her cries were, oh no, the dead body isn't there. She came for a dead body. She came to appreciate and mourn over and take care of a dead body. But what was there was not a dead body. And so what she came expecting, it kept her from recognizing Jesus. I don't know what you came expecting today, but let me tell you, there is a very alive Jesus in this room. And if you come expecting just a pretty church service, you might miss him. If you come expecting just a really nice sermon, sorry, you might miss him. If you come just to check your card that you said, hey, I went to Easter this year, I went to church one time this year. If you came today to do those things, you're probably going to miss the very live Jesus in this room. You might think he's a gardener. Who is this? Can I tell you that Mary had a who is this moment? She saw the risen Messiah right there. Even though he had clearly told her and others about his death, even though he had directly told her about his resurrection, she looked at the Lord and she saw a gardener. Is it possible that we do the same? Do we do something like that? After all the things we've heard about Jesus, after all the things we've received from Jesus, anybody in the house ever received something from the Lord? After all that, do we sometimes encounter him and not recognize him? This wasn't the first time people had seen a resurrection come from the hands of Jesus. We're celebrating Easter today, Resurrection Sunday. This is the day that Jesus rose himself from the dead. But this isn't the first time that Jesus has done a resurrection. No, he'd done it before. There was Lazarus. Lazarus was the friend of Jesus who became sick and died. And Jesus couldn't come to him because Jesus was away on a trip. And Lazarus had now been in the tomb for 4 days by the time Jesus had returned from travel. We're going to read about it in John 11, 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, Martha is Lazarus's brother. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Someone say, if you. Verse 22. But I know, someone say, I know, that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Verse 24. Martha answered, I know. Someone said, I know.
I know.
He will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. We do this. We look at God and we say, if you. There's someone in this room right now. You probably said, God, if you would have just saved my mom and dad's marriage. If you would have just not let me get in that accident. God, if you would have just not let it happen the way it happened. If you would have just been there, where were you? Someone's in this room. I'm talking to you. You've been doing that. And you've been carrying all this burden. You've been carrying all this worry. And now you're accusing God of not even being present while you're in trouble. Let me tell you, that's not true. The Bible says he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. When the going gets tough, you look around because the Lord is already standing by. But we do this. We say, if you, God, if you had been there. And then she says, I know. You see, we give God an if you. And then when he's about to talk to us, we kind of cut him off and we say, I know. We do this all the time. We say, if you, God, would do this all the time. And then we come to church and then God's got a word for you. And we go, oh, I already know that. I know that already. And then we cut off what God wants to do. Look close. If you had been there, I know he will rise again later. That's what she tells Jesus. Martha's conversation shows us that she had no idea who she was talking to. Jesus healed people without even being in the room with them. She says, if you had been here, he would have been saved. But Jesus, he healed one man. He wasn't even in the room with him. That's in Matthew 8. The centurion comes and says, hey, Jesus, can you save my servant? He's sick. And he says, Jesus says, oh, I'll go to him right now. And the centurion says, no. You don't even have to go. You just speak the word, he'll be healed. And Jesus spoke the word, he was healed. Jesus didn't even have to be in the room with someone to save them. But she's saying, Jesus, if you would have been here, then he would have been saved. She didn't know who she was talking to because Jesus can do all things. He can do everything. He can do something from the other side of the globe. She had no idea. But beyond that, if she knew she was talking to the God of all wisdom, the God of all knowledge, she wouldn't have cut him off with a dismissive, I know. I've not been a pastor very long, but let me tell you, let me share with you one of the biggest things that drives pastors crazy. Someone says, problem, problem, problem. Say, here's God. This is how God works. And they go, oh, I know. And they walk off without receiving that. It happens that Martha was doing that to Jesus right here. Martha and her family needed a who is this moment. Martha said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She says, Jesus, I believe in the resurrection, but, you know, I already know that, but, you know, it's too late. But here's the response of Jesus. Here is the rest of this passage. It's John 11, 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? See, she said, I know that on the last day, the resurrection, you know, that's going to happen. And Jesus says, no. Wait. I am the resurrection. You don't have to wait for the last day. The resurrection is standing right in front of you. I'm talking to people right now who probably believe in the resurrection. I mean, after all, you came to church on Resurrection Sunday. So I don't have to talk you into believing the resurrection. I'm pretty sure, right? I've got a hunch that you believe that Jesus rose from the grave. Hopefully you believe this. If you don't believe this, we'd love to talk to you about it. And hopefully you believe that because you trust and obey Jesus, and because he defeated death, hell, and the grave, you too can have a resurrection. Martha believed this. She believed that because of that, in the last day, we'll have a resurrection. She believed this. But Jesus says something. He says, I am the resurrection. This is the who is this moment. It's a who is this moment right here. Let me tell you, the resurrection isn't a thing that happens to you. The resurrection is a who. The resurrection is Jesus. It's not some thing that takes place. One day, da, 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 a trumpet's going to sound, and then this thing is going to happen, and I'll be resurrected. No, 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 no. He says, I am the resurrection. The resurrection isn't a thing. It is a who. He is the resurrection and the life. We make the mistake of treating the resurrection as a what. It's this thing instead of a who. Religion has sometimes guilted people into the idea of a resurrection, and it goes a little bit like this. The resurrection is what will happen if you go to church. Better go to church. Don't want to miss the resurrection, that thing that will happen to me. Or maybe if you say your prayers, because if you don't, you'll miss out on that thing, the resurrection. Or maybe if I stop sinning. The resurrection is that thing that'll happen if I can ever just stop with that sin problem no one knows about because I'm so ashamed and embarrassed about. Or maybe, just other church rules, like you take communion, then you'll receive the resurrection. Or you get baptized, you take the resurrection. Or you do this, you learn scripture, all this stuff. You become a volunteer at the church, then you'll experience this thing called resurrection. That is treating the resurrection like a what? And not a who. But if Jesus is the resurrection, you experience the resurrection as you know who Jesus is. I'm telling you, the moment you experience who Jesus is, that's the moment you can experience resurrection. Martha had it all wrong. Oh, I know that day's coming far, far away that we'll be able to experience the resurrection. No, 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 no. It's a who, and he's standing right here in front of you. You can experience the resurrection right now, Martha. You don't have to wait till you die to experience the resurrection. When you meet Jesus, you start experiencing the resurrection. He starts bringing you to life. And some of you have felt that before, haven't you? You remember that. You remember the first time you started believing. What was that feeling? What was that? Let me tell you, it was the resurrection. You're going to feel that again when he calls you home. You're going to feel that same presence. And you're going to go, whoa, that feels just like that, because it is just like that. You experience the resurrection just at that moment. What happened at that moment? You're dead and he's bringing you to life. Sounds like a resurrection to me. When you started prayer, when you started to say a prayer of repentance, remember when that happened and you got those goosebumps that just wouldn't quit? What was that? That was a resurrection. You might be feeling that in this place today. Let me tell you, it's not because you are just in a wonderful church that has all their act together and a preacher that just has the greatest sermon that's ever been preached on any Easter anywhere. No, it's because the resurrection power is in this house with a very alive Jesus. That's it. It's the resurrection. It's the Savior bringing you to life. That's the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He died on a cross, but he raised himself from the grave on a Sunday morning, just like he said he would do. Jesus walks up to the tomb where Lazarus is. He's had his talk with Martha, and Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He walks up and he says, if you know it, say it with me. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Just that simple. And Lazarus, who was dead, he receives life again. He comes out of that tomb. He still has all his grave clothes on. He's like dancing around. They have to take off the grave clothes or he'll die again because he'll suffocate. It's crazy. That's your Jesus. He does crazy stuff. He brought him back to life at just a few words. That wasn't a thing that happened. Remember when Jesus did that thing? It wasn't a thing that happened. That was a who that happened. That was a Jesus happening. Jesus was sinless. And he defeated sin in the flesh. And he defeated the curse of sin. And the curse of sin is death. If you don't know that, you need to know that. The curse of sin is death. If you hate death, you better hate sin, because that's the curse of sin. It makes sense how he could rise again, because he was sinless. So he defeated death, he defeated hell, and he defeated the grave, and he defeated all of those things. So it makes sense that he would have power over those things, right? Okay, that's good. We're tracking together here. So Jesus could resurrect himself, and we all get that. But we definitely can't resurrect ourselves, right? No one here, if you died today, could you lift up your own life back to life? It can't be done. It can't be done. I've never actually tried personally. Don't want to. Right. Here's the good news. You can't raise yourself up, but here's the good news. Jesus' resurrection wasn't just for Jesus. The story of the resurrection isn't a story that we tell to remember that one guy who did that thing. That one guy who rose from the dead. No, that's not the meaning of the story. Maybe you people think that. They come to church because we got to remember that thing that happened, and so this is a holiday and it's really important. In fact, we get Friday off work, so it must be, it's Good Friday. Oh, Easter's coming up. We have to go and celebrate that story about that one guy. No, it's not just about that. Jesus' resurrection wasn't just for Jesus. It wasn't just so we could say, hey, remember that one guy who was sinless? Those are good times. Let's sing a song about him. Jesus, Jesus. All right. No. The story of Jesus' resurrection is our resurrection story. That story, you ought to love that story over any other story, because it's your resurrection story. It's the story of how you are going to defeat death one day. It's the story of that person you love that's buried and gone and you can't talk to them anymore. The best you can do is go to their cemetery headstone and leave flowers and remember them. That's the best you can do. This story of Jesus is their resurrection too. You ought to care about this story. It's not just something we remember. It's our story. It hits our life. It is our hope. It is our future. It is our destiny. It is our defeating of our greatest fear, which is to die. The story of Jesus is our story. It's the story of us having victory over death, hell, and the grave. Matthew 27 and 50. I want to tell you, I want to show you that Jesus' resurrection wasn't just for Jesus. Pay attention to this. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Verse 51. The earth shook and the rocks split. Verse 52. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Verse 53. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Now hold on a second. Who died on the cross? Jesus died on the cross, but what happened when the earth shook and rocks split open and tombs opened up? What happened? Other people got up and were alive. Why did that happen? Because Jesus' resurrection wasn't just for him. There is so much life inside of your Jesus that when he gives his life, and when he picks his life up again, he's not the only one standing around with life. He gives life to others. He gives life to all that call on his name. Can you just imagine? Just Uncle Joe, we love Uncle Joe, and Joe loved God so much, but he's gone from the grave. And then he comes knocking on the door. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, it's Uncle Joe. And he doesn't look like a zombie. Looks like Uncle Joe, and he's alive again. You're like, what is that? And then he tells you, Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one true Savior. Would you believe Uncle Joe? I would believe Uncle Joe. I would love to have been there. That happened. That happened. And it should still happen. Because the life that you're receiving from Jesus, you ought to do some door knocking. And you ought to go to Uncle Joe, who's not at church today, and say, hey, this Jesus just brought me back to life. He just brought life to me. That thing that was dead inside.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.